This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you. You well know that. Monday through Friday, right here, as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Always eager to hear from you. It is a live show. That's because we want to hear from you. That's why we make it live. So I want to give you a couple of numbers that you can use to join us today. I've got a toll-free number for you if you're right here in North America. That number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you to pick up your phone and punch in those happy numbers and join us today as we talk about, oh my goodness, our life in our Lord Jesus Christ and how we can live it in the complexities of the world and the day and time in which we live, right? Very important to always be looking at the day and time through the prism, through the lens of our faith, with the question in our heart, what is God asking me to do today? How can I bring the good news today? How can I make a difference, an impact with his life today? So we invite you to join us for these conversations. If you're outside of North America, we've got a number for you too. Begins with the country code. It's 1-205-271-2985. That is country code 1-205-271-2985. We're available for you by text message as well. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. We invite you at that point to wait for our response. Put in your question as well as your name, how it is that you're listening to us, and where you live. And do know that message and data rates may apply to your text message. But in all of these ways, we are available for you, and we've got one more. We haven't run out yet. One more. And the one more is that you can use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Chat feature is there for you for that reason. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement, and we will get it. We certainly will. So we're looking forward to a lot of callers today. You know, today is, a secular holiday, right? It's Halloween. Sue Brinkman and I spoke about Halloween yesterday on the air a little bit. I've been speaking about it sporadically throughout the past few days here. All that being said, we've got, something that's even more important about today that actually takes this in from a totally different perspective. This is All Hallows Eve. It is the eve before All Saints Day, which is tomorrow, November the 1st. All Saints Day is a very important day in the church, as is November the 2nd, which is All Souls Day. So what's the difference between All Saints and All Souls? Well, on All Saints Day, we are giving glory and acclaim to heaven for the fact that God has called us by name and intends for us to spend all eternity with him in heaven. He desires that we be numbered among the church triumphant, and the church triumphant consists of all of those saints who are in eternal glory, many of whom we know by name because the church has canonized them, but many that we don't know by name. Many men and women who will never be raised to the altar of the Lord in that way through a canonization process, but nonetheless lived heroic virtue in their day and time. And so this communion of saints is there. It's called the Church Triumphant. It's always before the throne of God, beholding the beatific vision, giving glory and praise to God, along with all of the angels who are in heaven as well. So we celebrate that great reality on a holy day of obligation. That's how important the church considers it to be. And that is November 1st, which is tomorrow. November 2nd is the Feast of All Souls Day. And this is a day where we pay special attention. We should be paying attention all of the time to the holy souls. But on the November the 2nd, the church calls our attention in a special way to those souls who are working out their salvation, basically, after death. These are people who have died, not in the state of mortal sin, but nonetheless with either some residual effect of sin, temporal punishment due to sin, or, you know, have wounds of the heart that still need to be healed. And God in his mercy, says these people, their salvation is assured, but these souls still need to go through this process of purification. And so we call them the holy souls. They are in purgatory. The idea in purgatory is that, you know, their opportunity for merit on their own is gone. So when I said, you know, they're working out their salvation, it's not so much that they're working it out. They're in this process of it being worked out in them. And we can help them. We can assist them. And we assist them by our prayer. And so I hope that every day you are including in your time of prayer a prayer for the holy souls, especially those holy souls that you know, your deceased loved ones. You know, we never want to rush to the conclusion that because we considered a person having lived a good and holy life, that there isn't something that is left there that still might need to be worked out. The problem with thinking that is that then we don't pray for them, and we could be wrong. Maybe even though that we saw heroic virtue, maybe we saw that they lived a very holy life. The fact of the matter is, there could still be something that still needs to be taken care of. And if we make the assumption that they're already in heaven, then we fail to pray for them. We don't want to do that. You know, this God of generosity, if we pray for someone and they're already beholding the beatific vision, our prayer is not going to go wasted. God will apply that to another soul. We also have it on good solid teaching that when we pray for a soul that is already in heaven, because we're not sure if they're there or not, then our prayer contributes to their glory. It in some way adds something to their glorious reality of beholding the beatific vision. So, you know, this prayer that we pray, should our deceased loved one already be in heaven, that prayer that we're praying is not going to go to waste. It's not going to be fallow. Scripture says that God's word will not return to him void. Your prayers, when lifted up in the name of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, are not going to be void before the Lord. God Almighty will use them to great advantage, either for a soul that is still in the process of purification, or in fact for the further glory of the soul that you are praying for. So we have these two very important days that are coming up, and we ought to pay special attention to them. The communion of saints, we well know, is a beautiful doctrine of our church. We're called to believe in it. We profess it in our creed, both the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. And it is the spiritual union of all the members of the church, both living and dead, in their unity of Christ, the church triumphant being those who have attained, beatific vision, who are in heaven, the church, who is suffering, the holy souls, and then the church militant, you and me. And heaven knows we need to be praying for the entirety of the communion of saints. More to come on the other side of the break, but I do have a question for you. And here it is. We can talk about it today. You know, when we think about the saints, you know, let's talk about some of the saints that have had an impact in your life today. 833-288-EWTN is the way in which you can join us. That's 833-288-3986. Coming right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnnet Williams. Happy to be with you today, inviting you to give us a call. Golly gee, I love to hear from you Monday through Friday. I certainly do. 833-288-3986 is the toll-free number for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-EWTN. So I'm inviting you to give us a call here. We're talking about the saints today because tomorrow is All Saints Day. Today is All Hallows Eve. Yes, it is. It is the eve of All Saints Day. So I think it's very appropriate that we talk about the saints. We'll be talking about them, also tomorrow. But, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, who is your favorite saint? You know, who is a saint that's really impacted your life in some way? And I was just talking to Charles today. He's sitting in right now for Rich Jesse, who I think might join us later on in the program. But I was telling him about this beautiful calendar that they have at EWTN's Religious Catalog. I really want to encourage you to check it out. This is a calendar that is the Saints Calendar and 16-Month Planner. So if you get it now, you can actually use it for the rest of this year, for the last couple of months that we've got, November and December, but you can also carry it forward into next year. It's beautifully arranged. It has several features. I like to see the whole month at a glance. That's very helpful for me. And they have that opportunity at the beginning of the Saints calendar. And then as you dip into it, they've got each month by week, which is very nice. And there's space in each of the days where you can actually use this almost as a journal, right? Where you would, you know, you couldn't write a whole lot, but you could write something in there, you know, you could make special notes and then you could keep it and it would become for you sort of like a catalog, you know, of your own salvation history for the year of 2025. And each of these months that is featured in the, you know, weekly plan for the month has a special saint that they highlight, they give you special consideration of, but each of the days are also marked with each of the saints. So anyway, I find this to be very beautiful. Last year, I tried a different calendar and didn't care for it. So I said, I'm going back to the saints. So here I am with it. And I'm looking at some of these beautiful, beautiful quotations that are contained within this calendar that talk about the saints. I'm going to throw just a couple of them out to you while you're cogitating there and thinking about, you know, who is the saint that you would like to give special honor to on All Hallows Eve in light of the feast day tomorrow, who has impacted your life greatly. We might continue this theme tomorrow. I never really know, but we'll see. Anyway, here's a beautiful quote from St. Bernard. This is for the month of November in 2025. St. Bernard lived from 1090 to 1153. And he says, under the influence of fear, we bear the cross of Christ with patience. Under the more inspiring influence of hope, we carry the cross with a firm and valiant heart. But under the consuming power of love, we embrace the cross with ardor. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a beautiful quote? So here he's helping us to look at, you know, the way in which we carry the burdens of our life. You know, sometimes, you know, we've got a cross that is an ongoing cross. It's a travail that we have. It's something that we suffer with on an ongoing basis. It could be something that we suffer with in our heart or in our emotions or in our psychology. It could be something that we suffer with in our body. It could be, you know, a situation that we have to contend with in relationship to others, you know, or within the, you know, the work environment where we are right now. You know, but how do we carry it? And he's giving us these various ways, you know, under the influence of fear. What is that? You know, fear of not pleasing God, fear of losing our soul, you know, fear of the fires of hell. I don't know. Under the influence of fear, we bear the cross of Christ with patience. But he says, under the more inspiring influence of hope, we carry the cross with a firm and valiant heart. I love that. Hope in God, trust in God. But he says, under the consuming power of love, we embrace the cross with ardor. And I like that the most. You know, I remember that scene from Mel Gibson's movie, Passion of the Christ, when Jesus is given the cross. And it's almost as if he embraces it, you know, with love. That's a hard thing to do. But it's not an impossibility. It is not an impossibility when we begin to recognize that through the cross that God is entrusting to us in any given moment in time, there is great grace contained within that cross, because everything good comes by way of the cross. And so when we look at the cross as an entrustment, as a portion of the cross that Christ carried, that God the Father is incorporating us into the very means of salvation, the way through which redemptive grace comes to man, when we allow ourselves to reframe the misery of it in the light of God's glory that comes by way of the cross, it changes all of it. And when we see that in embracing the cross with a joyful heart, and a joyful heart, remember, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can have absolute joy in travail. We can have absolute joy in suffering. We can have absolute joy even in the moments of deepest sorrow and grief, because we hold on to the inspiring influence of hope that God is working a good out of it. A good that we can't see, maybe can't even begin to perceive, maybe that we just know is going to happen through blind faith. But it changes our entire perspective of the way in which we look at the travail. Isn't that a beautiful quote to sit with in prayer? Maybe even to catalog, you know, begin to write down in a list those sufferings that we're experiencing in the moment. Oh, the pain in the back, the pain in the side, the headache, you know, the upset stomach that maybe we're experiencing in the moment, or that malady that is a longstanding situation. Maybe we have weak health and we're very frail. Maybe we suffer with an autoimmune disease. Maybe we suffer with some kind of physical handicap, a disability. Maybe we lack sight, or maybe we are maimed in some way. Maybe we're unable to walk without the aid of a cane, or maybe we even need a wheelchair to be able to move from place to place. You know, we can ball up our fist and rail against God, or we can look at this and say, oh, I am going to suffer this in union with you, Lord. This is one way in which I am given this remarkable opportunity to enter into your passion in a specific way. It doesn't mean that the malady disappears. What it does mean, though, is that there is something born within us, something new that comes by way of the Spirit, something that is uplifting, something that helps for us to be valiant and to be faithful, something that aids us to even begin to thank the Lord for the opportunity that has been given to us. And when we're able to rejoice in the Lord always, even in the midst of the difficulty and the trial and the suffering and the setback and the weakness, I'll tell you, joy comes. Joy comes. It's not a giddiness. It's not a happiness. But it's something that's related to that peace that surpasses understanding. It's something that helps us to see the merit and the worth and what is going on. Doesn't mean that we don't pray for healing. It's perfectly fine to pray for healing. Always pray for healing. Pray for restoration. You know, pray for God's mercy. Pray for that healing power of the Holy Spirit to just course through our being and set us free. But for the duration that cross is entrusted to us, for that period of time, such great merit can come if we are willing to hold on. As it turns out, that's actually, you know, because this is a 16-month calendar, I just dipped back to November of 2024 out of curiosity to see, okay, so, you know, what is the quotation for this month in this year? And it's the same one. So maybe these carry through from year to year. Since I have several of these from years gone by, I'm going to do a little comparison afterwards because, oh, well, I'm kind of nerdy that way. I do those kinds of things. But all of that being said, you know, I'm sure that there has been a saint that has impacted your life in some great way. I do want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Do want to remind you that I am going to be at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church in Wildwood, Florida on November the 16th. Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to this. That's a Saturday. I am going to be giving three talks in relation to our Blessed Mother and the Advent season. You know, preparing for this coming of the Christ child. I'm very excited about this. And I'm excited for another reason. You know, I do a lot of speaking to women, but I do speaking to men too. And this is going to be an event for both men and women. My husband Jack is going to be with me. We're inviting you for this beautiful half day event. It begins at 8 a.m. in the morning with breakfast. Actually, I think it begins with Mass and it's followed by breakfast. It will end at 2:30 in the afternoon. You're also going to get lunch in between there. So a whole lot. We're going to do some praying. We're going to do some eating and we're going to do some speaking on that day. So I'm looking forward to being with you there. All of the information is available for you at our website. You can actually register right online. So if you live in Central Florida or on either coast, I'm telling you what, you know, it's very conveniently located there. Wildwood, Florida is in the Villages area. You can join us for this event. Drive on in. I'm going to be flying in or driving in. I think we're driving in. Anyway, looking forward to being with you November the 16th at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church in Wildwood, Florida. It's an Advent. The theme is Advent, Walking with Mary. We're getting ourselves all geared up, right? We're going to be in the midst of it then. What a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. Also, too, February the 3rd, we have our Benedict Institute for Women Long Week Winter Immersive. That's February 3rd of next year. It's going to be just so beautiful. Oh my golly, it's going to be beautiful. It is going to be a course in this immersive that's going to go into the Mariology theme of this formative program for Catholic women who are seeking a certification in Catholic women's leadership or simply want the spiritual enrichment, either way. And it's the Read of God, Our Lady in Scripture and Devotion. And this is a beautiful, beautiful theme. It's based on the book by Carol Hauslander, The Read of God. It's going to be quite, quite beautiful. It goes into, as I said, the theme of our Mariology and the Feminine Genius. And we're going to be studying this book, and we're also going to be talking about some of the saints, in particular St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary is going to be explored as well. Dr. Donald Wallenfang, our academic advisor and instructor, is going to be leading us through this program. And our spiritual advisor, Most Reverend William J. Walterscheid, Holy Bishop, is going to be with us for this event as well. So I can tell you, it's just going to be outrageously wonderful. If you've come to any of our Benedicta Institute for Women's week-long immersives, you know what they are like. They are just lovely. We enjoy it so much. It's so, so enriching, but also, too, so helpful for us as we seek to be Catholic women leaders in this, our day and time, no matter the venue of our life, no matter if we are moms at home, no matter if we are in the workplace, in a professional capacity, no matter if we, you know, have a position that puts us in front of people, no matter if we are teachers of students, children, you know, no matter what our venue is, no matter if we're retired, this is a program we're all meant through the day and time that God has entrusted to us to be influencers of the culture of the day. And certainly we look at this culture that we're living in today and we know that we need holy Catholic influencers, women and men. We concentrate on the women. We leave it to the men to concentrate on the men. But we're looking forward to being with you there. It's going to be taking place at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual, they just changed it. It was Spiritual Center. It's not Spiritual Center anymore. I will figure out what it is, but nonetheless, it's in the same location where we were last April, and it's very beautiful. It's right smack dab on the Atlantic Ocean. It's just lovely, lovely grounds. Everything about it is wonderful. So we invite you to join us for this beautiful, beautiful event that's going to be taking there. All of the information is available for you once again out there at our website, 833 288 888-398-3986. Right now, you know, all of the lines are open for you. So I'm asking you to populate the lines. Tell us who is your favorite saint. We would like to know about your favorite or a saint that has really impacted your life. You know, I'm a big one on saying that the saints choose us. We don't choose the saint. You know, at different points in my life, I have had different saints that have been very inspirational, very important to me. And they show up. Some of them have been long-standing saints. I would kind of say that they're my companions on the way. They are there for me all of the time. I ask for their intercession on a consistent basis. But there are other saints who kind of have come in and have kind of gone out, you know, or they'll come in for a time and in some way, you know, my heart, the Holy Spirit will impress them upon my heart, to ask for their intercession. We often get this whole thing confused, you know. People say, well, you know, this business, you Catholics and your saints, you know, you Catholics and the way in which you look at this whole thing, you know, I just go straight to Jesus. I just go straight to God. I don't need, you know, saints. I think that we misunderstand, you know, that so very much. I've been talking with you in recent weeks about secondary instruments, and that's who the saints are. It is God's will of good pleasure that he incorporates us into his actions. It is God's will of good pleasure that in some way he leaves open, you know, a work for us to do through our prayer. And our prayer doesn't stop once we die. Our prayer continues because the soul is immortal. And the saints are right there. They're beholding God face to face. You know, they're beholding the beatific vision. Their prayers are so efficacious. Who has been a saint whose prayers have been efficacious for you? Very eager to be with you today. 833-288-EWTN is the way you can join us. Toll free for you right here in North America. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Love spending my time with you Monday through Friday right here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many, many good affiliates. And we thank all of our affiliates for carrying Women of Grace Live and the other programming offered by EWTN. We invite you to give us a call here. The lines are all open, and we have Tom Price call screening today. I mean, that is not usual. So you get to talk to Tom Price today. That's really kind of like a special little situation going on. So we invite you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Michael McCall out there on social media. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel is available for you there. I invite you to use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved. Michael's going to do that retrieving. He'll get it up on the board and I'll be able to address it. Was telling you that we're also available to you through text message. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your name. I love to know where you're calling from and how it is that you're listening to us. You can give us that information as well. And do know that message and data rates may apply. So we invite you to use all of those means to join us today. If you're outside of North America, your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. We're making use of this opportunity today to prepare ourselves for the Holy Day of Obligation, which is tomorrow. Tomorrow is November 1st, and that is the Feast of All Saints. And so we are preparing ourselves by talking about this great gift that we have in the Communion of Saints. And the Communion of Saints, of course, is what unites the mystical body of Christ. And the mystical body of Christ, through the Communion of Saints, consists in basically three categories, right? We have the holy souls who are in heaven. We call them saints. Many of them we know by name. They're canonized saints. They've been raised to the altar of God because their heroic virtue was provable in some way. And they can give us great guidance on how to live our life in Jesus Christ. But there's also you know, members of that hallowed group who are in heaven, which we call the Church Triumphant, who are not canonized. They're men and women that maybe some of us even knew in our own lives who are before the beatific vision of our Lord, but they are not likely to be canonized for any number of reasons. All of that being said, we have the Church Triumphant, and that is who the Church Triumphant consists of. All of the holy souls, canonized and otherwise, who are in heaven right now, beholding God face to face, praising Him with the angels, right? Such a lovely, lovely thing to consider. Our Blessed Mother, you know, is the chief among them, right? She is the greatest of all saints. So many of the great saints have told us that all of the merits of the great saints put together, every single one of them cumulatively, cannot equate to the holiness and the purity and the perfection of our Blessed Lady. And it stands to reason, because God specially fashioned her to be the Ark of the New Covenant, to be the one who would contain within her own being the fulfillment of all that was contained in the Ark of the Old Covenant. She would contain within herself the one who fulfills the commandments of God, the one who is the true King of Kings, right? The one who is the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God fashioned her specifically for this great mission, though that great mission depended upon her, yes, because her free will was not taken away from her. And she gave fiat to God at the moment of that annunciation recorded by St. Luke in the first chapter of his gospel. And the word was made flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. The word was made flesh and dwells, present tense, not past, dwells among us. What a great, great saint is our Blessed Mother. So that is the Church Triumphant. But then there's also the Church Suffering. And that Church Suffering consists of the holy souls, men and women who were not perfected in this life, who perhaps have some residual effect of sin, some temporal punishment that still needs to be remitted, right? We know that all sin creates a breach in our relationship with God, creates a breach in our relationship with each other, creates a breach with all of creation and all of the cosmos, right? And so that breach oftentimes is not completely amended for in this life. You know, the stain of sin is gone, but the wound, you know, the wound of that sin might still remain in some way in our soul. Maybe we need healing from a sin that we committed in the past. I'm thinking of so many women who talk about the scar of having aborted a child, that deep wound. God wants to bring healing to that wound. Once that sin is repented of, He wants to make a way, right? Make a way toward healing and hope and new life in Him. He wants to heal that breach. He wants to heal it completely and totally. Maybe it's not all resolved in this life. You know, there is some other wound, a mother wound or a father wound that we carry. Maybe we die with lack of forgiveness on our heart. Maybe somebody has sinned against us and we've been bitter and resentful toward that person ever since. You know, but we're not in serious sin. We're not dying with a mortal sin upon our soul, but in some way, venial sin or these wounds of the heart that I'm describing still exist. Well, purgatory is this place of mercy where this gets worked out, and it gets worked out, through the salvific action of our Lord Jesus Christ that is available still to those souls. They can't merit that anymore. It's the free will action of God working within that soul, but also through our prayers for those souls. Also through, you know, the sufferings that we offer for the holy souls, which is why I always remind us, pray for the holy souls. So that's the Church Suffering. And then there's the Church Militant. And the Church Militant consists of you and consists of me. It consists of all of us that have life at this moment in time. God has given us life at this moment in time to be the saints of this day, and He will use the circumstances of the culture, the circumstances of the moment in history in which we live, to be perfecting agents for us, to offer us the opportunity to enter more deeply into union with him. And so we are the church militant. We're fighting the good fight, right? We're battling forward as soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthened through that sacrament of confirmation, to be his sign and to be his witness today. And so you and I, we travail in this world, seeking to be those saints of these latter times. That is the beautiful reality of the mystical body of Christ, the communion of saints made up of these three, I call them categories or states of souls, souls that are in heaven, souls that are suffering, souls that are still, embodied in our bodies, we're working it out right now. St. Paul tells us, in fear and trembling, we work out our salvation, right? So we're still cooperating with grace so that we might be purified. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here. Also encouraging you to be with us, right? To be with us via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. You can leave your comment right there for us in the chat feature. Just let us know who you are and how it is that you're listening to us, and we'll get it retrieved. Michael McCall doing the retrieving. I understand that we have Tom Price with us that is there doing our call screening. Very happy for that. It's always nice to have Tom part of the Women of Grace Live family that is on the air at the given moment. And we want to remind you that The World Over with Raymond DeRoyo airs this evening at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN TV and radio. He's going to have Cardinal Raymond Burke as his guest, discussing the important moral questions regarding voting for U.S. Catholics, what we should be considering when we go to the polls on November the 5th. So I certainly invite you to tune in to Raymond DeRoyo tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN television or radio. Matt Schlapp, chairman of the CPAC and Newsmax, CPAC and Newsmax contributor, will be discussing the latest polling and policy issues driving the presidential race in the lead up to Election Day. So I just want to, say that most likely, I think a lot of people have voted already. But if you haven't voted already, I want to encourage you, please vote. It is a moral obligation stated by the church to exercise the rights and privileges of our citizenship. And one of the rights and privileges of our citizenship is to vote. And this is a very consequential election. We have been talking about it. We need all of the saints in heaven to be praying for us, right? To be praying for us as we approach this particular election cycle. There are many, many, many issues, and I'm begging you to please look at these issues through the lens of church teaching and through the lens of sacred scripture. If you do that, your decision isn't going to be hard. And I know that sometimes, there's a great loyalty to one political party over another. But I want to remind you of something. If you're Catholic, remember this. You're Catholic first. Right? You are a Catholic American, not an American Catholic. You are a Catholic first. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God first. And your citizenship in the kingdom of God is to impact your citizenship in the country of which you are a member, whether it's the United States of America, or whether it's Canada, or whether it is Sweden, or whether it is England, or whether it is Ireland, or whether it is anywhere in Central South America, whether it's anywhere in Europe. You are a Catholic first. You are baptized in Christ Jesus. You are not baptized in the nation that you were born in. You are baptized in Christ Jesus. And this applies to our Protestant brothers and sisters as well. You are a Christian first if you are baptized. You are a Christian first. And then an American or a Canadian or an Englishman or an Irishman, or a Sweden. You are Catholic first, and we give allegiance to God first and foremost, and everything that we do is to speak to that reality. And that is essential when we go into the voting booth. You know, this world is made up of imperfect people, right? None of us is perfect. That's why we're not in heaven right now, because we're still working out our salvation in fear and trembling, as we mentioned a moment before. We're still working it out. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Neither of these candidates is perfect. Nobody on the ballot is perfect. But the fact of the matter is, we can evaluate that which is closest to the one perfection, and that is God. And we base that on the policies that are being represented. And, you know, we've got to look at the reality. We've got to look at the reality of what is up for grabs in this election. And if we look at it through the eyes, through the lens of our faith, then it's going to be an easy decision. Right now, you know, we're talking about saints. I'm thinking of St. Thomas More. He lost his head for truth. He was a martyr to the faith because he stood for truth. Because he stood against the desire of the king, because he was a Catholic before he was an Englishman. So, you know, I am encouraging you to let the word of God and the teachings of the church guide your conscience in your voting decision. Also, there are many amendments that are coming up on state ballots this year. Many amendments that are being put forth by the states in which we live this year. I was mentioning to you yesterday, I'm going to mention it again. There's one on reproductive rights for women. This is a loaded amendment. A loaded amendment. You know, I don't know if there's any of you listening today that believe that abortion is a woman's right. I pray to God that there aren't. If you are, you know, you've got to take a look at that seriously. Because only God creates the human person. And that human person is created in the image and likeness of God, no matter how that person was conceived. Every person in the womb of an individual deserves to be brought to natural birth. So and by that, what do I mean? I'm talking about needs to be brought to full gestation. We know that things happen. We know that there are, diabolical ways in which a woman can become impregnated. But that's not the child's fault. That's not the child's fault. And God loves that child, or that child wouldn't have been conceived. It's the good that God can work out of violent action. Anyway, you know, it's very important. I want you to pay attention to that reproductive rights amendment if it's on your state's constitution. I know that it's in Virginia. I know that it's in Florida. And you've got to pay attention, because even if, God forbid, you believe that abortion is a woman's right, I pray to God you do not. Oh my goodness, I pray that you do not. Even if that were the case, this is loaded. This removes parental rights over children, and you've got to be quite aware of that. All right, we've got a couple of callers here. We're going to go to our phone lines, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. We have Katie with us. Katie is with us in Dayton, Ohio, listening to us via Sacred Heart Radio. So excited about it. Katie, welcome, welcome. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
I was just calling because I heard your show while I was driving to Steubenville to pick up my daughter for fall break.
Wonderful.
And I just wanted to call in and say that Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth, is my favorite saint.
Of course she is. And she's your mama.
That's because when you go to her, she does respond. She goes to Jesus and helps you. As long as you're willing to give up your ideas and kind of let go in life, the saints will help you. And that's with the Queen of Heaven. She goes, you know, the Queen of, let's see, in old times, like, the Queen was always, like, the one that the King would go to.
And that's right.
So I do believe that's actually true, that that really is a thing. It's not just an idea.
No, it is true.
If you do go to her, she will help you.
Katie, thank you so much for
kind of let go first.
Yeah, that's the hard part, isn't it?
Work in your life. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you're right. Several things that you've said here, I think, are just so good. So I want to tease them out of your very, very good description of why our Blessed Mother is so important to us. When we pray, you know, we pray that God's will be done. That's the prayer that Jesus taught his apostles. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we obviously put our petitions before the Lord, given our perspective on what would be the best outcome or the best situation. But we know that God's will supersedes our will because God knows all things. So he knows the ultimate good. So when we permit ourselves to step back from what our desire is, admitting the fact that we have limited vision and God has omniscient vision, we see only a little, God sees everything, God then is free to work in our lives. Our Blessed Mother, of course, is a key saint for showing us, and that's demonstrated so beautifully at the moment of the Annunciation. And she says, fiat mihi, be it done unto me. Right? So she's surrendering everything before the Lord, even though she doesn't quite understand how this is going to happen, even though there could be repercussions. She is only looking to the Lord's will, trusting that whatever his will is going to be the best thing, knowing that he will work it out according to the best plan. So we do have to go with that openness of heart. I also wanted to comment on your very lovely statement about our Blessed Mother being queen. Jesus is king. And in Old Testament times, the king had a harem of wives. He had numbers of wives. And so there was not one that was designated as the queen. That would lead to discontent within the kingdom. So what he did, it was always the queen mother. It was always his mother who was the queen. And the queen had specific duties. And the specific duties was that she was to bring the appeal of the people to her son. And she was to distribute the goods of the kingdom to the people. So she would distribute the king's bounty to the people, but she would also be the advocate, if you will, the intercessor before the king for the needs of the people. So the people would come and request of the queen. She would go before the son, with whom she held great weight, and present the needs of the people. But then the blessings that the king would want to bestow upon his people, she would then distribute. And those are the roles that we see our Blessed Mother in. This is why she is so powerful. And of course, she is all holy. Our Blessed Mother never had the stain of sin that scarred her. So her prayer for us is very, very efficacious. So, Katie, thank you so very much. Now, what year is your daughter in there at Steubenville, at Franciscan University?
She's a junior now, yeah.
She's
studying theology and catechetics, and she really loves it. So she's inspired every day there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
she's getting a great education. Franciscan University is a wonderful school. I have a granddaughter that is at Ave Maria, down there in outside of Naples, Florida, in Ave Maria, Florida, and I have one at University of Tennessee. So it's wonderful to watch these young women come up, especially when they're being formed and shaped according to the mind and heart of Holy Mother Church. Katie, thank you so much for your call today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. A perfect way to end our program today. Friends, thank you for being with us. We are going to be back with you again tomorrow, which is what? It's All Saints Day. Be sure that you plan to get to Mass, either Vigil Mass tonight or Mass sometime tomorrow, and give glory to God for all of those holy men and women who are always before his throne pleading on our behalf. We look forward to having the opportunity to chit-chat with you some more as we come back together again tomorrow. Until then, encouraging you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Look at some of those upcoming events. Join us right there in Wildwood, Florida on November 16th. Consider coming to our Benedicta Leadership Institute, our immersive that's taking place there at Our Lady of Florida Spiritual Place in North Palm Beach, Florida in February. God bless you now. Bye-bye.